You can use this for a home study or your own study, but the next few weeks I'd like for us to study some things together that we'd be better prepared to study with others that would like to study with us. We'll finish this one tonight, I believe. Next week we're going to look at one that is a very simple study that you can do with someone just really in one setting. Maybe you meet someone, they say, listen, you're not going to convince me that I have to be baptized in order to have the forgiveness of my sins. I've got a study that we're going to go over beginning next week if we get through this tonight. That really, you just can't escape the conclusion of that study. So I think you'll enjoy that. I enjoy it very much. And another way that we can approach that, when you sit down to study with someone, whether it's a study like this or a study using some other material, sometimes you may find that you're, and hopefully before you have your first study, you're going to find out, but you may study with someone who really doesn't even believe that the Bible is from God. If they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and Belvis recently talked about this, if they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you're going to have to start even before a study like this to really lay that foundation down, because there's no way that you're going to convince them to obey the gospel if they don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You've got to get them to see that point first. I never will remember a co-worker of mine that I had years ago. Her mother-in-law was a member of the church. Her husband was brought up in the church. Her children were members of the church, but she was not. But she just told me point blank one day, Donnie, you are trying to convince me to become a Christian using a book that I don't even believe in. So she didn't believe that the Bible was the Word of God. And so it would be pointless with someone like that to begin in with material like we're going over tonight. If you got to first get them to see that the Bible is from God, and it is our standard of authority in religious matters. And so we'll study that in not next week, but then another lesson as we look at some material that we can use to help others see the gospel. You remind me, because I did not make a mark on mine, where we ended last week. So we did complete number four. Okay. I'm going to back up, and we're not going to recover the first four points. But I want to give you, make sure that you got plenty of references, and this is where you can share your knowledge too. On the first four points, you're studying with someone, which is really how to become a Christian. Now, the material that we study not next week, but the next lesson that we look at, and maybe even the fourth lesson that we go through, which will be completely separate material, by the time this study is over, you're going to have four that I know of. Lessons that you can study with someone, and even two of them is a series of lessons in trying to get them to obey the gospel of Christ. But this one begins with really how you become a Christian, because the question is being asked, who can be saved? And the first four points in the lesson, but five in becoming a Christian, deal with that point. When we went through the material on ways in which to mark your Bible, and that was an entire series that we did, I'd encourage you to do that. Somewhere in your Bible, you need to have marked down, you need to underscore, highlight, and then have some place in your Bible that you can go to and have all of those in one place, or at least marked where you can follow, because you're not going to carry in your pocket, probably, or not going to carry in your pocket, these steps to salvation. Now, we've got those on a card. There's some in the back. I've got plenty upstairs. If you want those, and you can put them in your pocket and hand those out, I'll give you plenty of them if you want those. But you need to have somewhere in your Bible where these are marked. Whether you start on the first page of your Bible, first page of the New Testament, somewhere to have these marked. The first step in obeying the gospel of Christ is what? is to hear. We all know that. Most of us have done that. But if you've done that, I've done that, we need to be prepared to share that with someone else. And we've covered that in the first four points. But I want to give you some passages. Now, if you were going to tell someone, they say, okay, you just told me I had to hear in order to become a Christian. Sometimes you'll look at little steps of salvation and begin with belief. It doesn't have here listed. But what passages are you going to share with someone to show them that you have to hear? Say it again.
Acts 2:30-something. You there yet?
Okay. Acts 2:36 says, when they heard, or 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart. But what passages can you look at that would specifically show that an individual must hear? What direction are you going to go with that? Good. Romans 10:17 is a real good one that we hear all the time. I mention that to you just about every week. Right? And others do too. Which says that
faith
comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And there's other passages you could tie into that. But you're showing them that you must hear the gospel. And the point about that is faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. A passage that I like to couple with that, and it's in your handout, is Hebrews 11:6. So without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And He goes on to say that he must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So we know we must believe, must have faith, and the only way we can have faith is by hearing the gospel.
Romans 10:14-2.
Okay, what does that one say, Tim?
It says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Good. And so it's another passage. And most of the folks in the religious, in the denominational world, I'll put it that way, are familiar with Romans chapter 10. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's one of those passages that many times they don't consider the context of it. Okay, Acts chapter 11 and in verse 14. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? In Acts chapter 10, let's in verse 33, immediately Cornelius says to Peter, immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to what? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And then keep in mind too, with hearing the gospel, with hearing the gospel and being baptized, you can use any one of the conversions in Acts. Because all of them began first with the gospel being preached, then hearing the truth. And every conversion mentions the fact that they were baptized. So, you've got all those examples of conversion, at least eight of them, in the book of Acts. Anyone else want to share a passage for here? How you might approach that?
Look at John's writings of Revelations of the seven churches. Most old churches say he had an ear, they'd hear. Yeah. No, all of them.
Good. We'll put Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and that's actually stated to every one of them. So there's seven examples, seven statements. He that had ear, let him hear. What the Spirit saith in the churches. Somewhere in your Bible, you need to mark that down. Now, I'll tell you a good old way to handle if you don't have a blank page in your Bible. One, you could tape some blank pages in there, but if you don't want to do that, somewhere, just write down. You just put down here, and then put that first passage, Romans 10:17, however you want to put it in your Bible. And then you go to Romans 10 and then verse 17, put your next passage, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And then go to Hebrews 11 verse 6, put your next passage. And then you'll have that. Anytime you have your Bible, if someone says, show me the proof, show me where the Bible says it, you've got it. You're prepared for that. And that's why a place like this is in part because we want to be prepared to show folks. What about hear, believe? Well, we've already talked about Hebrews 11, verse 6. Some of these you can double dip, and that's okay. But just think about right off the top of your mind some passages that come to mind about believing. You must believe. Maybe I write at Hebrews 11, verse 6. I write my next reference. I'm going to go to Hebrews 11, 6, show them that I must believe.
John 3,
someone
16.
Says, say it again.
John 3, 16.
Yeah, John 3, 16. Okay. And so maybe you said that you might be asked a question. And by the way, when you study with someone, you need to try to anticipate every question you think that they could ask you. And sometimes they'll ask and you say, I don't know. And sometimes a question may be asked that does not really pertain to what you're studying. By the way, how would you deal with that? You're studying with someone and you're saying, look, John chapter 3, verse 16 says, he that believeth, or that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they may say, What do you think the Bible's talking about when it talks about the seven spirits before his throne? Well, is that an okay question? Well, yeah, that's fine. Ask the question. But I'm not going to get into that here because I want you to see this point. We're not talking about the book of Revelation and chapter 1 or they ask you about 666. We're not talking about that. That's a good question. We'll come back to that. If you tell them you're going to come back to it, come back to it. So John 3:16, Hebrews 11:6 about belief. What's another one?
John 8:24.
Good. John 8:24. What's that say, Mark?
Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins.
Yeah. Good. Hebrews 11:6, John 3:16,
John 8:24. Acts 16:31.
What's that say, Rev?
So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.
Good. Excellent. The conversion of the jailer. And remember, I mentioned to you, be familiar with every chapter in the book of Acts, which we'll cover in our Sunday morning class, that deal with conversion. Anyone else?
Mark 16.
What does that say, Cheryl?
Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved.
He that believeth not shall be damned. That takes our mind back to verse 18 up here. I mentioned to you last week about he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the only begotten Son. But must believe. About Acts chapter 18, verse 8. Many of the Corinthians hearing, believe, and we're baptized. So, you got a nice little list. Anybody want to add another one? This helps all of us to think about those references in the Bible. We want to study with someone. We want to convert them to Christianity. So, you can talk with them about the necessity to believe. You can tell them if they say, well, what do I have to believe? How much do I have to know? How much do I have to believe? And to be ready to talk with them about that. How would you answer that? How much must I know before I can obey the gospel? How many sermons do I need to hear before I obey the gospel? Depends on what the sermon's on, right? But to that point, and I agree with that point, because we've got examples of that. Acts 2, they heard one sermon, believed one sermon, obeyed one sermon. And so anybody ought to have the opportunity to hear it once before somebody is entitled to hear it twice. Right? So one sermon. And you'll have to kind of fill that out as you're studying with someone if what they know. There's been folks that's asked me to baptize them before, and I'd be happy to, but they just need more study. They didn't know enough. Maybe we extend the invitation of visitors here. Someone has been with us, and they come forward and they say, I want to obey. Do they know enough? Maybe the sermon was on an unrelated topic that day. I don't know. It's okay to say, by the way, that so-and-so has come forward and we are so thankful for them. They've expressed interest in becoming a Christian and we look forward to the opportunity to study with them. Just let it go. Don't embarrass them. We're thankful they responded, but we just need to study with them. Anyone else want to add one to believe? What about repentance? Oh, quickly, we're not going to get through this. Listen tonight. But I want you to have plenty, though. Mark?
Luke 13:3.
What's that say, Mark?
It's the exact words here.
It's okay.
I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.
All likewise perish. And when you're studying with someone, that's okay.
That's the Lord Christ, too.
Yeah. To turn to the passage, because I'll tell you, it's far better, in my estimation, more important, more valuable for them to see it in the Bible with their own two eyes and even read it than to hear me quote it. I want them to see it. I want them to turn to the Bible and see it. And so we turn to the passages and see. What other passage about repentance?
Acts 17:30.
God commands who to repent? All men. You didn't ask them that. Does that, when it says all men, does that include you? Does that include me?
Sure.
It does all of us. What else? Acts 3:19, repent, be converted. Acts 2:38. You might even, all these are passages that are directly dealing with a direct statement, direct command to repent, but there may be other passages that you need to bring in. For what reason? Go ahead, Chuck.
Acts 8:22.
What does that say?
This is Peter telling Simon, repent, therefore, of your wickedness. Pray God, perhaps, all of your heart be forgiven.
Good. In the context of that, which is a little bit different, is this is dealing with someone who has obeyed the gospel. You can point that out. Now, when you obey and you sin, as all of us do from time to time, don't we strive not to? God's made provision for that. Just point that out. You might bring in, as I mentioned to you several times, other passages like Matthew chapter 21, the man who had two sons. We talked about that. It was in our material. Matthew 21:28-29. Just to show them a good Bible definition of what it means, an example of what it means to repent. Someone tell me where the passage is that it talks about godly sorrow leadeth Israel to repent. Is that 1 Corinthians 5? Oh. 2 Corinthians 7. Sorry, way off. You might want to point that passage out to them. Why?
Because it's not just being sorry.
That's right. And we ought to feel bad that we've sinned against God wrong in His sight. Any other passages for repentance? What about confession? I gave you several in your material, but I want you to have these. Take it. Say, I didn't write all those down. I don't have anything right on. That's okay. Take the phone out, snap a picture, and you'll have it with you. You can put it where you want. Now, you've got these in your Bible. What about confessing our faith in Christ? Matthew 10:32-33.
Romans 10:9.
Good. Romans 10:9. Other passages. There's other passages when the Lord, in a similar vein as Matthew 10, would say to whosoever shall be ashamed of me in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed. Yeah. Any other passages?
How about the eunuch?
Mark 8:38, for the one I just mentioned to you, Mark 8:38. And Bellis is right. Acts 8:37 is an example. And you may have to pause, and someone may say, well, what do I confess? Do I confess I'm a sinner? Do I confess my sins? No, you repent of your sins. God already knows you're a sinner. You confess your faith. And there's an example of a man who did that. And you can just ask him now, before he was baptized, what did he confess? Did he confess his sins? No. Confess his faith. Well, any other passages under... I share with them other times that individuals confess the Lord in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16 and John chapter 6, two confessions that Peter made. As a little side note to those. Matthew 16 and John 6. I've been baptized. There's plenty. There's just a ton of passages in the New Testament that talk about baptism. It always amazes me when folks say, all you people in the Church of Christ talk about baptism. I challenge you, someone ought to go back and look at all the sermons that's been preached over the years and see if that's the only thing preached on. Nonetheless, what passages would you point them to? You think about Matthew all the way through 1 Peter. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Thoughts? You just tell me, and I'll put them up here and we'll move on.
1 Peter 3:21.
It's 2:38.
And Romans 6.
Romans 6, 1 through 6.
1 Corinthians 16:22.
Well, 12:13 does. What it was it sure?
That wasn't
good. 2:41. Acts 2:41. They gladly heard his word, were baptized. And
the point there is about 3,000 because of that baptized, 3,000 souls were added.
Good. Were they added before or after?
After.
By the way, every example, and if you're studying with someone that's saying, now look, I'm just not convinced that it is necessary for salvation. I believe you need to do it. I believe every believer will want to do it. But I just don't believe that it's necessary in order to be saved. Every example. Mark it down without fail in the New Testament where baptism and salvation are mentioned together in the same passage. Guess which one comes first? Baptism, without fail. Every single one. You can point that out to for by one Spirit, we've all been baptized into one body. Romans 6. Galatians chapter 3, 26 through 29. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, checking on that one.
John 3, 5 on it.
The new birth, John 3, 5. Then it said Galatians, Colossians, 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 21. Any others? Acts 22, 16. And then, again, every example in the book of Acts where there's conversion, and those conversion chapters are what? They've been in the same chapters for a long time now. But I'm there with you. Sometimes I forget things, too, that I want to recall. But just write that down somewhere. Acts chapter 2 with the Jews. Acts chapter 8 with who? With the eunuch and those of Samaria, Acts 9 with Saul. Acts 8 is Simon's in Acts 8. Acts 10 and 11, together those chapters, both of them talk about the conversion of who? Yeah, Cornelius, the Gentiles, Acts 16. Yeah, the jail and Lydia in 16, 18, and so many of the got over here on the lead, I think. Many of the Greek and Syrian believed, were baptized, Acts 18, 8. Then Acts 19 is the conversion of Philip. Some men who was baptized with John's baptism but had to be baptized again. Those at Corinth. The way you can remember it, which one comes first is just remember that that Ephesus rather than that. That Corinth, the book of Corinthians, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, comes before the book of Ephesians, and so it's that one, the book of Acts, those of Corinth and then those of Ephesus.
In Acts 22:16, John.
Acts 22:16. Oh, I didn't see that. That's okay. Now, which is a very good one about calling on the name of the Lord. And that's not by prayer. But you just got all those passages that you can write down and be familiar with. As you study with someone to show them how to become a Christian. It's okay with you if we don't get through all this tonight. Shake or not. Blame it on a long-winded preacher. I don't know. One, who then can be saved? One who enters through the door. Jesus said, as recorded in John 10:9, fill in this blank, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the way to the Father. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And who's that a reference to? To Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. On one occasion, Jesus taught and said that all those that would come unto Him, the Father will do what? No man cometh unto me except the Father draw him. Someone may say, well, how does that take place? The reason that came to mind is because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. But then in John chapter 6, he said, no man cometh unto me except the Father John. Now, John, in the passage we just read in John 14, he said, no man comes to the Father except by me. But then he said, no man can come to me except as a result of the Father John. So how do you answer that? Can't get to one without the other. Well, how does the Father draw one? By the gospel. Good job. It is written, the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. No way that we can come unto Him except the Father draw us, and that's accomplished by being taught the gospel. He called you, whereunto He called you by our gospel. As Paul wrote to those at Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians, maybe. See how important it is and good it is that you can have things wrote down so that when you need them, you got them. At 2 Thessalonians, not Corinthians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and then verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I've written down 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. If all you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, it had not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And not enough can be said about the Word of God and the gospel. So Jesus is the door. He's the way. Not a way, not a door, but the door. And so the only way to be saved is through Him. Well, we've got the quarter. So we've got time to get through some other material and even this. But I hope it's okay with you if along the way something comes to mind. I want to break from this to just give you more, because I want us to be as prepared as we can to study with folks and help them to see what the Bible teaches and even answer some arguments that come up along the way. Any thoughts, comments, questions, suggestions? Right, I appreciate your good attention. If you had to share tonight and you want a copy of the material, let me know and I'll get you a copy after class or after the service tonight.